providing Houston sports radio excellence for 14 years and counting. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 802, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you think the line is for that Colts-Texans game?
I have not looked at them yet. I would say... let's see. I'll start in Indianapolis. I'd make Colts at least probably 13.5. We'll dial it back to 7.5, but then the Texans stink and they don't have home field advantage. I'm going to say 9.
Nine is exactly it.
Okay.
Yep. 9. I think that's...
Basically, they're saying Houston's home field is worth 1.5 points now. Pretty terrible.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's
accurate. Is it really worth 1.5 points? I mean, does it matter where?
John, 35,000 people when they are full throated and they are really getting into it and screaming
there
first down,
35,000 people
and screaming
there.
Defense and doing all that stuff.
And you know there were a lot of Jets fans as well. There weren't 35,000 people there, by the way.
38, whatever.
40. No, probably 28.
I'm gonna check.
Yeah, it says 65,100.
Yeah. 65. So there. Okay. When 65,000 people get together and scream, I'm not going to go by your eyeball test. I'm going to go by what the Texans put out there.
Honestly,
who's more honest about stuff? You or the Texans?
Oh yeah. There's no question that would be me. Honestly, it's so stupid. Did 65,000 people really buy tickets to that game?
That's hot. I mean. That's season tickets, basically. How much of those are season tickets?
Oh, I don't
tickets?
Think they have 60,000.
No, but they have tickets. Probably 50. Do you think that 15,000 single tickets were bought?
You're dumb if you buy tickets.
Stop! Right there. Hard stop.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Keep going, and I'll tell you when to stop. When I do my hand like this.
You're dumb if you buy tickets.
Okay, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
Now you're on to something.
So, but you're dumb if you buy, and I'm sorry, Texans, but you're dumb if you buy them from the Texans because you can get them cheaper on the secondary market.
Simple Seats is
like 12 bucks.
It's true.
For $40
lower
tickets.
Bowl tickets. Let me check right now. I'm going to check my friends over at Simple Seats. What do you think a lower bowl ticket is going to cost you? I'm going to do zone seating.
A lower bowl.
Zone seating where you don't choose, they'll choose the seats for you. And then they give you a bigger discount that way? Because you can move wherever you want.
Give me something around the 30-yard line, 30 to the end zone.
Okay, I'll get something very specific. I'll get it at the 30-yard
line. That's still going to be 40 bucks.
I can get it for you at the 20-yard line.
Okay, 20-yard line, that's going to be somewhere around 15 bucks.
They're charging $79.
What now?
At that.
Those are $105 tickets.
Well, those are also for you get the club or whatever, right? You get special seating. Don't you? Or no? Because they don't have a lot of those available. Now, if you just want lower bowl, I can get you for 45. Let's see. All right. For lower bowl.
Lower bowl.
Hold on one second.
End zone?
How many tickets are we going to do? Let's say four?
Go
two?
Four. Go four tickets.
Let's go four tickets.
Lower bowl.
Four tickets. I can't go between the 30. They got a ton. Look how many seats they have. Literally the whole stadium, they've got seats available, except here. The Texans don't sell those to them. So if you want to get it at the 10-yard line, I can get you those for $35 field level. How much do they go for?
I think they're $105 tickets.
Field level, $35. If you want in the end zone, we can get that even easier. I can get it for you for $29. And that's today.
Yeah, right.
Wait 2 days, and those things, the algorithm automatically shifts
always
down.
Always wait.
Because last week, they had some tickets in the sweet spots between the 30s. Or between the 20s, and I wanted to say those ended up at $25.
Wow.
An NFL game, I told my dad that. I said, do you know? He said, what's a Lancey? We talk about Astros. He also told me. He called me yesterday. I'm in the middle of trying to watch prospects. He's like, and it used to be when he worked with Arizona, he would call and we would talk players. And it was really fun for me to get to talk, you know, how we see players with draft stuff. Now he calls, and he knows I'm working, so he doesn't spend a lot of time, but he goes, hey, I have a question. I know you're busy, just real quick. And I thought, uh-oh. He goes, did I ever show you my goal list that I made in 1972? And this is a notebook, and his goals were, I want to coach at a Texas high school by this age. I want to coach at a 4A school, which is the highest at that time, by this age, in a major city. But he was quitting jobs with no other job because his goal said that's what he wanted to do, and he made it happen. Like, it's an incredible, I want to coach in college by 1978. He did, at University of Houston. So all these goals, he goes, did I ever show you that? I said, yeah. He goes, I don't know if you remember, but in 72, I wrote that my last goal I had, or the last one for college, was I wanted to be head coach at Notre Dame. I said, yeah, I've seen that. You showed it to me when we lived in Louisiana. Well, he goes,
and Freeman just took that job from him?
And he's like, well, but yesterday when he talked to me, he didn't. He goes, I'm thinking about throwing my name in a hat. I got stuff I got to do. What are you doing? What are you telling me you're going to throw your name in a hat in Notre Dame? I'm trying to watch a Florida international running back right now. I'm trying to watch this kid from Florida.
Better chance, your dad being the Notre Dame head coach or that Roy being president of the United States? Did your dad get 1% of the vote? Because it looks like the Roy has 1%. He's got 1% of the vote.
I got a funny feeling that storyline is going to turn into him having a little bit more juice as a presidential candidate.
Maybe.
I'm telling you, I would go that Roy, Colin. I would say Colin Roy on succession becoming president. Better chance of having my dad being head coach in Notre Dame. Although I will say, I see all these offensive line jobs are opening up. Like LSU has an offensive line job. If a team called my dad, he doesn't want to be head. But if a team, like if University of Texas, he lives in New Braunfels. If Steve Sarkisian called and said, Larry, I'd like for you to be an assistant O-line coach and help us with technique. You don't have to recruit, and you don't even have to go to all the team meetings. We just very specifically, I think he'd make the drive every day to do that because he loves teaching that much. Yeah. I think he would still do it.
That'd be cool.
And he'd stop calling me when I'm trying to write up running backs.
Yeah, and you know.
He's all upset about what are they going to do with Carlos Correa? Like, well, I don't know, Dad. I mean, I'm upset about it too, but this is how I got off on this tangent. He said, so what's the talk on the Texans now, Lancey? I said, Dad, me and John will talk about something for maybe a segment. Nobody will call about the Texans at all. Very few people ever will tweet about them. I said, this is about like it was when the Oilers were leaving town. You were here for that.
Yeah.
Is when you first got here. We've been doing Texans talk for 20 years. You know, for as long as they've been in business, you know, almost 20 years. This is at no point has it been this bad. This is as close as I can see from a city interest in the team. It's probably going to be a little higher than the Oilers, but it's in that zip code.
Yeah.
That zip code.
It's the worst.
And
ever.
I told him, I said, he goes, they don't. So an NFL team.
No,
he's not even talked about in a major city. I said, Dad, what do you want us to talk about? David, we've exhausted David Culley talk. Davis Mills talk, that's been exhausted. Jonathan Grenard talk, no one cares. What are we going to talk? Zach Cunningham, Brandon Cooks, tell me the guy.
Justin Reed, it's important.
That was what we finally had. Oh, guys, look at that water. Is this an oasis in the desert? Some Justin Reed suspension talk?
That was the lead. That was the lead the day after they lost to the Jets. Oh my gosh.
And who is here for this demise? Jack Easterby.
Update here. Alabama 6.5 now.
Yeah.
If you get off 7, if you get off the number 7, that's a big move right there.
Number 7. I never saw 7. I saw it started at 6.
No. I got it at 7.
I saw it at 6. I know people who fired heavily at 6 on
Alabama
Georgia.
Plus 7.
And then I saw it go to 6.5. I haven't seen it at 7 personally.
I got a parlay. Alabama and Oklahoma State. No parlay.
You're on the wrong. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, is that right? Why?
Sorry for your
Alabama's
loss.
Alabama's going to throw a monkey wrench in this whole thing. They're going to take up 2 spots. They're going to beat Georgia.
As long as they hold Georgia to 10, they got a shot.
I think they.
How's Bill O'Brien going to score? He couldn't even get touchdowns against the Aggies. He needed block punts and field goals.
Bill O'Brien is an offensive genius. And you, yeah, look what he did against Auburn. Crushed him.
Okay. He's one of the reasons why we can't talk Texans anymore.
Who put together the drives in overtime that won the game?
Even his agents can't drum up real interest in his, like, hey, they're leaking to, like, people on Twitter. Bill O'Brien is emerged as the top candidate at Virginia Tech. And then they hire somebody named Billy Bixby.
Pry.
Yeah, no. Billy Pry from where? Where did he coach?
No one knows that. Never heard of him.
Heard of this guy. I mean, like, Bill O'Brien is now a front runner at LSU. No, he's not. Bill O'Brien might be the number three for University of Louisiana. He might be the third choice there right now.
Yeah.
He might be a choice to be.
Bill O'Brien's going to be the next Liberty coach when Hugh Freeze.
Oh, that would be a good fit at a religious school.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Go from Hugh Freeze to.
Well, like Hugh Freeze is some kind of religious zealot.
That's the only way they could drop, like, oh my God, did you hear this guy's mouth? This O'Brien guy? Did you hear what he said in mass today?
Whoa.
That's just at the introductory press conference when he gets the question.
That's ugly.
Mr. O'Brien, you have had different run-ins with different players, and we know that you are a bit surly. Do you think you'll be able to handle this raucous fan base at Liberty here between prayers? You suck too, mother. You suck too. Oh, I think we may have made a huge mistake.
All right.
He just MF'd the president.
You're making a mistake if you don't give your car to a kid. All right.
Yeah, you are, and you're not a good person. Carsforkids.org. The company that they work with here locally is the Houston Can Academy. Houston Can Academy, what they do is give kids a chance at a diploma. And young people who have had difficulties with traditional methods of learning at school. It's a great thing that they're doing to help give that head start to someone who really needs it. And carsforkids.org is going to help fund it by taking your cars, and they will come haul your car, your truck, your motorcycle off your property. And for you, it may be a piece of junk or something that you are going to, you know, try to refurbish and get back out there on the roadways, and you never did anything with it. So let them come out there. They'll haul it off your property. They give you a $50 Visa gift card when you mention ESPN 97.5, and they give you a tax write-off. So before the end of the year, you can keep that tax write-off for the 2021 tax year. Write off the car and not the kid, and do something great for kids with carsforkids.org.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here to hang out with us, anything that we've talked about, you're more than welcome to get in on Astros and all of Major League Baseball now. On hiatus, well, and a lockup, and so no signing of Carlos Correa. We'll see what happens. Mark Berman had a tweet that said, "Here, the teams that are interested, that have made offers anyway for Carlos Correa, and it included the Cubs and the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Yankees. Those teams all seem to be a bit interested in Carlos Correa, although nobody made the offer that he would accept." Nobody so far has put up the number that he's looking for. So that is interesting that nobody's made that offer yet.
Well, and Buster Olney, we played the sound earlier, that he said the lower back was a concern for a lot of teams. I know in the interview he also talked about velocity of his throws were off a little bit at one point, and teams were concerned. Listen, they're checking on everything. Their teams have measurements and modes of checking on everything. And Carlos's back, which you've brought up a lot, which I kind of figured that's in the past, but Carlos's lower back.
You're talking about a 10-year deal.
Yeah, Carlos's lower back and back now is a concern for Tatis. You don't think, I mean, that kind of stuff matters to teams. And that's a longer deal. Carlos's back, Carlos not having a profile of being a plus major league hitter over his career, Carlos's injury history. All of these may be playing into the fact that he hasn't gotten any kind of an offer like Corey Seager got. And maybe there's a thought that nobody wants to get in a bidding war. Maybe there's a thought that we don't want to deal with William Morris, his agency, because they're going to look to and maybe the agency has been difficult to deal with. I don't know. I mean, I don't know any of this stuff. I just know that here we are, and Simeon got a deal, and Baez got a deal, and Singer got a deal. Story has not gotten a deal, but that guy's got wild home.
He's another back
away.
Guy. He's another back guy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wild home and away splits that you can understand that. Scherzer got a deal done. A lot of the big money guys have gotten their deals done before this went into effect. And here's why. Buster only joined Wheelhouse yesterday, and Wheelhouse minus Brad Kellner, who was sick. And he talked about the lockout could last for quite a while.
There's a lot of pessimism about where this is going to go. I think some people have assumed that, well, when we get closer to the start of the season, that's when they'll talk. I don't think assuming that. In fact, one agent sent me this. He said he texted everyone the best among his clients. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Easter, Memorial Day. And I look forward to them talking to them on Flag Day, which is on June 14th. That's how much pessimism there is tonight, in part because we've seen these two sides, whether you want to take the side of the player or the owners, the two sides are not collaborating, and they're not cooperating, and they're working very badly together.
Yeah.
That was, by the way, credit to ESPN and on
listen,
that one.
Listen,
on
yeah, well, it was he was on ESPN last night talking about that. Listen, this always happens. They're going to get back at it. I think it'll be before summer. We'll see. It'll be right up to the last minute when the season is about to start. They're going to miss spring training, and then they're going to have to do a month of spring training. They're going to have a shortened season, but they're going to they'll come to terms. It's not anything that is really pressing. I heard only with the Wheelhouse boys last night, and he said, "Okay, so what are the issues? The issues for the players are that they want guys to get to free agency sooner." Okay. Now, whether or not that is going to happen, I don't know. Major League Baseball, the thing that Major League Baseball wants is an expanded playoffs. And we talked about it earlier this week.
You think that's all they want? I read that.
And they don't want guys to get to free agency earlier. I mean,
no,
maybe
they said they were willing to give in on that. I read that they were willing to give in on the free agency piece. And I'm like, so that guys get paid a little bit younger, but what they want to do is use F-war as the determining factor in arbitration. Like, we'll give in some on the arbitration number and be able to get to arbitration by a certain year, but we want be able to get to free agency by a certain year, but we want arbitration to be determined not in a one-on-one battle, but by F-war stats to be the determining factor for what you get paid. I feel like that's reasonable. If agents are using stats like WAR numbers, win above replacement, if they're using that for free agency, then why can that not be used by everyone to determine what the salary is? Well, here's why. Because you'll have a lot of players who say, why don't I have an agent? This is a slotted number. Why am I paying an agent then? That's why agents are going to fight against that.
Yeah, and they don't want any, the players don't want any slotting of any kind whatsoever.
The players don't want anything. Players want it to be Wild West every day, and they want it to be a Wilder West. Mm-hmm. Oh, shocker. You know what the players want? Longer. They want more money to be introduced. They want to get paid earlier. Well, what do the owners want? What do the owners want? It can't just be expanded playoffs, because the players will do that as long as you give them something else. Yes. If you give us something else, we will take more money for more playoffs. Oh, okay. Well, is this really, owners? This is what your fight is, to get an expanded playoffs? That's going to happen. That's not a problem. There's got to be something else in there, doesn't there?
You would think, but it's this again. It's not like there's hardcore, this has to happen. We're not going to. I mean, it's just.
Listen, I've got a good friend. His name is Jeff Passan. And Jeff yesterday was on ESPN, and he talked about what is it that the league wants. Tell him, homie.
Major League Baseball wants, Major League, it's very simply to keep salaries flat. They don't care if they pay players earlier. They don't care if they pay players later in their career. They just don't want to pay them more money. They want expanded playoffs. They want an international draft.
And on the other side, the players want a bigger piece of the pie.
It's about time you got the players somehow got taken care of. Realistically, though, the middle class has been slaughtered in baseball.
Yes. Yes.
That is true. That is true. Older players, and it's the same problem with quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think Buster only yesterday on their show said, like, the average The middle guys got $11 million, and it's down to like six.
People who run around pretend they're socialists, like on Twitter, like Twitter socialists, yeah. I call them, will be some of the same people that, if they're also sports fans, secure the bag, secure the bag. In reality, these quarterback deals, agents tell me these quarterback deals are killing veterans and are killing the average player. The middle class is getting killed, and in baseball, the middle class is getting killed.
Yeah, because of, here's Passan talking about what the players want.
For the players, though, it's a very simple thing. They feel like they have gone backward financially over the last couple of years. And if you look, Scott, at the average salary for an average Major League Baseball player, it has stayed steady over the last 5 years.
Oldie had some different, he said, had some kind of different stat about the average player and what he's made over these last 5 years, how they've gotten screwed. So, here's the deal is I can't stand lockout talk. There's nothing more boring on sports radio than lockout talk and negotiation talk. And oh my goodness, it just is awful, awful, awful. How awesome would it be if we had Carlos Correa signing with the Astros today instead of talking about lockout? Wouldn't it be great if Carlos Correa signed with the Astros today? But no.
Oh my God, I would freak out if that happened. What if Carlos went on Twitter and like, guys, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be an Astro once all this stuff is done. We would just sit here for like, when is the lockout going to be over? When is the lockout going to be over? All of a sudden we're in, June, like, this is unbelievable. Carlos is going to change his mind. Too much time. If this lockout gets done in the next month, I am going to sign with the Astros. Come on, guys. Just do whatever they want.
What was the most excited you've ever been for? It's 8:30.
Most excited I've ever been for what?
For a signing.
I got probably Verlander, and it was a trade.
Mine wasn't. Mine was when Clemens and Pettit both said they were
coming. Oh, yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When the Astros got, that's not a signing. Well,
it was a signing.
Clemens and Pettit were. JV was not a signing. Greinke was not a, I was pretty excited about Greinke, too.
Randy Johnson. Well, that was a trade.
Those are trades. But signings, you know what the most excited I got? Uncle Mike coming back.
Yeah, that's the most excited you got?
Well, since 2004 or 5. Yeah, Roger and Andy was a really big huge deal. But when Michael Brantley came back, I guess recently, that's the most excited I've been. Maybe in any sport.
Man of World Series.
Dwight Howard signing, I was pretty excited for the Rockets.
When we come back, Pat Forty's going to join us. We'll talk about this college football playoff thing. And we're talking right now about how you bet on it. Well, the Cougs right now, 10.5-point underdogs. Oh, yeah? Watch this. Watch this casino and see how this tastes when I put a bunch down on our Cougs. Look, if you're looking for any bet, whatever it is, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love what they do. It's so simple to navigate. I mean, I'm looking at right now, and I got NBA, NCAA, NFL. Just click on the button, college football, NHL, boxing, UFC, F1, Formula 1, PGA. It doesn't matter. All kinds of prop bets. It's unbelievable. It's so awesome. Easy to navigate. I can always take a look at my open bets, what I got. I got season long. I got NCAA championship bets on a few teams. You can always check out what you got. It's so easy to navigate. It's so simple to play. You deposit your money, and up to $1,000 right now, they'll match. Right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid. It's not even arguable. It's mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pat Forty, as he always does, joins us here Thursday morning at 8:30, Senior Writer, Sports Illustrated. Pat, welcome in. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And what game were you at last week?
I was at the Iron Bowl.
Wow. So how... We've been talking about, Bill O'Brien's agents have been putting out there that he, he's a candidate for these head coaching jobs, and we're just, no, that's not the case. It simply can't be the case. They got to be about fed up with Bill O'Brien in Alabama by now.
I don't think they're in love with him at this point. he struggled like crazy to get to 10 points to get that game into overtime against an Auburn team that ends up 6-6 that finishes the season on a four-game losing streak and that just absolutely got blown off the field in the second half by Mississippi State a couple weeks earlier, that's a bad offensive performance. I mean, their line was bad. They couldn't run the ball. It was not pretty for sure. And I, you know, people still think Alabama's one of the four best teams in America. I am not one of them.
So, I had to just on. When do you get Alabama plus +7? So I had to bet him.
Oh, he's a fool, Pat. He is a fool.
I mean, but you tell me the last time you saw Alabama.
You better trust
plus
your
+7.
Human eyes with that Georgia defensive front.
So you am I a fool, Pat, for taking 7?
I'd give you 13.5.
I tell you, people who watch these
Georgia
games,
wins by 14.
Yeah. Are you going to be there?
Yes, I will be there.
That's where you're going to be. Georgia just seems so big, so strong up front and both sides of the football, and Alabama's playing so poorly, but I just can't believe that they're just going to lay down in this game. I just cannot believe it.
Well, I mean, they certainly have had a history of torturing Georgia. Saban knows how to coach against Kirby, and it is Alabama. It's not like they don't have players, but I just think from a performance standpoint, one team is operating on so much higher a level than the other.
So let's say Alabama beats them. So Alabama's in, Georgia's in, Michigan, they beat Iowa. What happens if it's between Cincinnati and Oklahoma State?
Oh, boy, the earth splits open. Right now I think the committee has it positioned for Oklahoma State to get in because they moved them up ahead of Notre Dame, and they're going to play a top 10 opponent, and Cincinnati's going to play a top 25 opponent, and you know, the committee hasn't respected Cincinnati. They haven't respected Houston. They haven't respected the AAC in general. So I think that it's set up there that way. Now, we'll see how the games play out. You know, if Cincinnati romps, it would be awfully tough to turn down a 13-0 team that beats Houston handily and beat Notre Dame handily. But we've seen the predisposition of this committee. So if I were Cincinnati, I would still be very nervous at this point.
Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm giving Houston. I don't think Cincinnati's going to look that good, tell you the truth. Houston's defense has played really well, and I think that if it's going to come down to style points, if they beat Houston, in fact, I think that there's a good chance that Oklahoma State gets in because Cincinnati needs
style
points.
That's a war now. Oklahoma State's got a war on their hands against Baylor.
Yeah, they do.
But also, if they win, how good does that look beating a number 19?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's going to be a tough game. They beat Baylor, I want to say by 10, maybe it was 13 earlier in the season. This will be neutral field. And the thing for Oklahoma State, which is the same for Michigan, you are coming off like the holy war of holy wars. You beat your rival who has had your number, huge emotional game. And, yes, it's easy to say, oh, there's no way we would have a letdown after that game. But your body and your mind can do different things. And I will be watching those games, and I wouldn't be surprised if both Oklahoma State and Michigan come out with a lot of juice in the first quarter, and maybe it's gone after that, and they don't have enough for four quarters. So that's my one thought there for the Cowboys. They're playing a good team after you put everything into finally beating your rival. What do you have left?
Yeah. It is going to be awfully difficult for those teams to keep their legs that whole game. I don't think there's any question.
That's my only concern for Michigan is that that's such an emotional win for them. I think there's a decent chance they could come out flat against Iowa, but I just, you know, Pat, who are the playmakers at Iowa that can take advantage of Michigan's defensive ends are going to create some havoc. I don't know if Iowa has enough horses to take advantage of.
And I don't trust
a team being
I don't
flat.
Trust Petrus either.
No.
No.
Iowa's playmaker is a punter. They don't have many other ones. You know, I mean, look, they live and die on turnovers. If they can't get turnovers and win in special teams, they've got no chance. But they've been able to do that. I mean, they're 10-2 with an extremely limited offense. They got a good running back in Tyler Goodson and a good offensive line. They have no receivers. They have no quarterback. So, it shapes up that if Michigan is not totally flat, if they don't come out and turn the ball over twice in the first half and give them easy points, then I think Michigan should win and probably win handily. But that would be my concern there for them is just that if you give Iowa a chance and you don't end up having four quarters of juice in your tank.
Pat, I don't remember. There's so little juice for the Heisman this year. I mean, if Pitt plays well, is there a chance that Pickett sneaks in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. To me, this is like the most interesting Heisman in maybe ever because it is completely wide open. I'm advocating like an all defense ballot. I mean, I think you could justify Jordan Davis, Aiden Hutchinson, and Will Anderson from Alabama as a 1-2-3. You know, I think if you look, traditionally, guys, the Heisman these days goes to the best players on the best teams. Those are your finalists. Well, the best teams are all better on defense than they are on offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the best players on all those teams are defensive players. So, I mean, if you follow standard Heisman kind of prototype, it should be defensive guys, but you're asking people to think completely differently in terms of who they're looking at.
This is really like, if Bryce Young wins it and he's the favorite right now, it is going to feel like one of the weirdest Heisman Trophy. You know, realistically, to me, if you look at how Bryce has played, which has been inconsistent for much of the year, C.J. Stroud wasn't much in the first half of the season, very good over the second half. I didn't think he was bad at all against Michigan. I think they just, you know, I think he had a bad first quarter, and then he picked up his play. The quarterback to me that deserves the Heisman, if you're going to look at it that way, is Kenny Pickett. I think Pickett has been the guy who's had a more consistent, steady year and done more with maybe a little less than Bryce or C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, who's elevated their team? Like, Alabama and Ohio State are always this good. It almost doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Pittsburgh is not 10-2 if Kenny Pickett isn't having a special season. You know, I mean, he's been unbelievable, and they're playing for an ACC championship largely because of him. So if I'm looking for an offensive player, he would be the one that I would look at, certainly over those other two guys.
Here's the current odds. Bryce Young -240. C.J. Stroud +375. Stroud was actually a favorite headed into the Michigan game. Aiden Hutchinson from the defensive end, if you want to go defense, +650. Kenny Pickett, 1,700. Kenneth Walker, who at one point was right there in the mix, 2,500. Yeah. And then Matt Corral, who was also a co-favorite at once, is now +3,500. So that's what it looks like right now. Bryce Young wins.
Well, Heisman. That's why there's going to be big intrigue for the four finalists. Who are they? And they've already announced. Usually they don't even tell you how many finalists there's going to be, but they've said there's going to be four. So who are they? And then I think we get to Saturday night, and there is legitimate drama waiting to see when they open that envelope.
So voting is shut down right now, Pat? It's all done?
No. Voting happens on – it has to be in by 5 o'clock Monday.
But they've said there's four finalists, but voting's not – okay.
Usually – like they say, it's you have to get X percentage of the vote to be a finalist. This year, for whatever reason, I haven't seen an explanation. They have said that there will be four finalists
because Aiden Hutchinson is going. That's why.
Well, what do you always wait to send yours? Right? Why would you do it before the championship games?
Yeah, I file it, but usually about 4 o'clock on Monday. The deadline's 5. I spend a lot of time on Monday looking over and making sure I'm not being a complete idiot, and then file.
Aiden Hutchinson has 13 sacks this year on the number two team in the nation, dominated against Ohio State. I mean, dominated. He's going to Manhattan. He is going to be a defensive representative. I feel very strongly that this is going to be their homage to a defensive player is going to be Hutchinson getting there, and he deserves votes. I mean, you don't have that for Jordan Davis. You don't have the You won't have the data. You won't have the stats maybe to back it up, even though the impact is substantial. But I'm very interested in this. There's a bet right here. Bryce Young wins Heisman -240. You can have the field for +175. I think I might rather take the field.
Oh, I'd absolutely take the field. Yeah. Frankly, we'll see how the voting comes out, but Bryce Young isn't the best player on his own team. Will Anderson has 29.5 tackles for loss this season in 12 games. I mean, preposterous numbers. He's the best player on that team, and the defense is better than the offense there. So we'll see again how it breaks down. People love their quarterbacks, and they love their offense, but this is a year to go 1-2-3 defense or 1-2 defense, in my opinion.
Quickly, Pat, we're up against it. We got Dana Holgorsen joining us on the other side. Lincoln Riley, was he scared to go to the SEC?
No, he was smart not to go to the SEC. he was. I mean, he's not running away from the SEC. He's running to all the advantages at USC, which would be almost a carbon copy of the advantages he had at Oklahoma. Dominate your conference, be in proximity to great recruiting talent, have every advantage there. And you know what? If you do it right at USC, you will contend for the playoff and for the national championship. I think it was a smart move on his part.
And it looks like they make strides towards a playoff, expanding the playoffs, huh?
Yes. They still can't agree enough to actually announce anything, but I think that we are one step closer, and eventually we're going to get there, 12 teams.
That'll be great. That'll be great. Pat 40.
12 is going to be great?
We with
That's
you.
Not great.
Hey, can we wrap things up next Thursday? Are we with you? You still got us? Still going to join us next Thursday?
Yeah. It should still be available. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. That's great. Pat, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
There's Pat 40 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week. Right now, though, Dana Holgerson is going to join us next, brought to you by Chastang HRNP. And Damaris Barbecue. So we'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, we've got Absolute Marble and Granite. There's another guy that loves University of Houston. It's Jeff Aronoff. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, is that Jeff is a big supporter of the program, big supporter of Dana's, and puts his money where his mouth is with the program. So that's awesome. And he's going to be I don't know if he's going to be there in Cincinnati on Saturday, but he's a guy who has certainly been behind the program. And if you're a Coug and you need some work done on your house, on your business, if you want to renovate, if you need or you want to build, that outdoor kitchen because you don't have one, guess what? You got it. Jeff Aronoff can get this job done for you. All you got to do is give him a call, let him come survey the area, design it for you. You pick with him all of the countertops and cabinets and flooring and everything else that you want. He does it all of it. It doesn't matter what the job is, but just got to be a big job. And Jeff Aronoff is going to be there, and he's going to get it done for you. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Joining us right now, the head coach of the Houston Cougars, heading to Cincinnati to play in the AAC Championship game. Dana Holgerson, brought to you by HRP, Chastang Ford, and Damaris Barbecue. Dana, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
How's your week of practice been?
It's been good. There was a point last week where I kind of sensed that our guys just wanted to, understandable that they wanted to kind of just fast forward to this week, you know. And so, but other than a bad Thursday preparation last week, I haven't sensed one time that this team hasn't been fired up about playing, you know. And the closer we got to that game last Saturday, I give coaches and players a lot of credit. They, you know, it was really, really tough conditions against the 1-10 team. The conditions got worse. We gave them a little bit of hope in the second quarter, and then we just kind of dominated third quarter and put them away. So, but other than that, you know, we've been wanting to play, ready to play, and obviously, this week there doesn't need to be a whole lot of motivation. The guys were excited. We had an extra Sunday night practice that we normally don't have, and they were fired up about that. Made Tuesday morning better, and then yesterday was good as well. So, fired up, ready to go.
Dana, how do you? Your defense has done a hell of a job. There's no question about that. But Ritter, the thing that Ritter provides is his mobility and ability to run out of, you know, zone read looks and on scrambles is a big factor in terms of their offense extending drives. What kind of additional emphasis have you put on trying to spy him and keep him from being a big factor with his legs?
I don't know if we can eliminate him. He's played too much ball. He's won too many games. He's got what, third most win total in college football history, 43 wins. These guys are interesting to prepare for. You know, we played them the last 2 years too, so it's not like it's foreign territory for us. They came here 2 years ago. They're on the verge of being really good. Went to the American Conference Championship that year, and we played them okay. And then last year, we weren't in a great place and went up there, and they got after us a little bit. But our team knows what Cincinnati is all about. We've played against them the last 2 years. You know, Ritter got out on us last year, you know, and so we got it. It's obviously been a big emphasis for us this week. We're going to know where he's at. We got to get him on the ground when we have an opportunity to. That's the problem with trying to rush like we rush. I mean, we're one of the we lead the country in sacks, you know, which means we pin our ears and we go. But we overrun guys at times too. And if those guys get out on scrambles, let alone just the run game stuff that he hurt us on last year, it's going to be a challenge. But that Cincinnati poses a bunch of challenges. That's just one of them.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You had a bunch of guys named first team AAC, including Marcus Jones was the return specialist, and he was the returner of the year.
Well,
Alton McCaskill.
You don't say.
Alton McCaskill, although he wasn't the first team corner. He wasn't on the first team. He was on second team. Alton McCaskill is the newcomer of the year. Clayton not named on anything, Dana. I'm a little bit surprised about that.
Yeah, I am too. I think the number one thing that, you know, everybody's going to, we talked about this earlier, they're always going to point the finger at the head coach and the quarterback. Well, I would kind of point the finger at the quarterback for our win total right now, too. I think the number one thing that you need to judge quarterbacks on is what that win total is. You can't have bad quarterback play and win 11 straight games, or, you know, let's just focus on the 8 games that he played in conference. You know, those 8 games that he played in the conference, the stats are off the charts. So I don't know what the other people are looking at. You know, the Mordecai kid at SMU is a really good football player. Only been there 1 year. Did have a little bit more stats, but, you know, those stats can get padded too. That is disappointing, but it's motivating to Clayton. I mean, that's the type of stuff that makes him tick. You know, he's not going to get too worried about it. He's just going to let his play speak for himself, and it motivates him to have a good week of practice and go out there and hopefully play good on Saturday.
You know, yesterday, John, I was at 3:30. I looked at my phone to see what time it was. 3:30. I was going to text Dana because I wanted to ask a question about Marcus Jones. I finished writing up Marcus Jones, and I'm like, you know what? I think he's busy this week.
He's probably busy.
I think he's got something he's got to do. I probably shouldn't. 3:30 feels like a time where he might have something going on in preparation for a big game against the team. Danny, you'd love to play. I mean, how amazing would that be for your team to play spoiler for a team that has a chance to win a national championship? I mean, if you get into the playoffs, you got a shot. And that's got to be just such a great motivating factor. I mean, this is kind of like your national championship game in a way.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've bragged all year about our captains and our senior leadership, and you know they didn't call it team meeting, but a couple of the captains wanted to talk to the team after practice on Sunday night after we lost to Tech the way that we did in the second half and didn't play good and was disappointed and all that, but you know a couple of the guys got up and said, you know, what happened. Let's just use it to our advantage. You know, our job's to get back to work and win games, and we can still accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. Our goal at the beginning of the year was, you know, your goal is always to win as much as you can win, graduate kids, make them better people. But our goal that was in front of us from the very beginning was, you know, one, let's get to the American Conference Championship, and two, let's take home that trophy. You know, had 8 conference games and we won every one of them. They had 8 conference games and they won every one of them. I'm a little disappointed it's not a neutral site game. The other 5 conferences do it that way. Neutral site would be awesome, but that's not the cards that were dealt. You know, they flat out said it. Let's run the table, play Cincinnati, beat Cincinnati, and go to a New Year's 6. And so all that is obtainable here this Saturday.
A little bit cooler. Is that it's going to be 53 is the high, but you guys play at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock there. Probably going to get cooler. 4 o'clock there, so it's going to get cooler. You at all concerned about the weather?
No. It's going to be nice. If you tell me Cincinnati in December is going to be, you know, 53 at kickoff with the sun going down, because on the East Coast it goes down at 4 o'clock. We've been on the East Coast twice in the last couple of weeks, and both those weather days were way worse than what this Saturday is going to be. So I remember watching the conference championship game last year. You know, and it can get bad right there at the beginning of December. That's right. They're, you know, close to where I was the last 7-8 years. And this is the time of year you can potentially get some rain. That championship game last year was 33 degrees with rain, freezing rain and rain. And so that's miserable, and that's no fun. It's going to be about 5-mile-an-hour winds, 50 degrees. It couldn't be nicer in that part of the country for weather, and we're excited about that. But like I said, the Temple game in that Philly stadium, that weather was awful. And then last week at UConn, it looked nice on TV, but it was bitter cold. And our guys handled that just well, so I got no worries with that at all.
How sad? I know how miserable you were after the last couple of seasons. Did you hate it? How hard you worked? Did you going to turn this thing around? And now it's 10-1. Is it set in yet? How satisfying? How has it been fun? What's this season been like? It's obviously much better than the last couple of years.
Well, I just think that we were unwavered by what happened. You know, year one was challenging, but I knew what the challenges were going to be. I'd already pinpointed what the challenges were going to be, and that's just the internal makings of what was going on and what we had to do to fix things. Our staff's been great, all the way from the strength coaches to the athletic training staff, you know, to the coaches doing the right things. Our players believe in what we're doing. I really believe we made a huge jump from year one to year two. It didn't look like it. You lost the last two games of the year to finish 3-5, and that left a bad taste in our mouth. There's no question. Who knows if what would have happened if we played the first six games and you get on a little bit of a roll. I mean, where our team's at right now compared to where it was week one is a lot different. You know, there's things that happen to a team when you kind of win some games and get on the roll, and we never were able to do that last year. But I really feel like we made a big jump from culture to you know, how things were going and the competitiveness of our team. It didn't end well, and that just motivated us more, you know, and just had a great offseason. Very proud of the team, very proud of the coaching staff. You know, the fan base is starting to get on board with what we're doing. Name recognition is starting to set in with guys like Alt McCaskill and Clayton Toon in a positive manner. We're just going to keep this thing going. We're on track, you know, and we're excited about the opportunity Saturday, but we're also excited about the future, where we're going.
Well, and obviously this season now, 10 wins. And hopefully 11 here and New Year's Day. If you guys win this, you guys will be the representative for New Year's Day for the group of five, which would be awesome. How is it going to the Big 12 as well? What's how many more doors are opening now with recruits?
Well, we're at 11 right now, John. So we could get to 12 here this weekend, which would be great.
Oh, I'm sorry, 11.
You know, there's only been two other teams. There's, you know, we're an elite company now. University of Houston, 75 years of football. This has only happened four other times. Two other teams, 76 and 79, I believe, were 11-1, and then 2011, 2013 were 13-1. So we're in that conversation right now. So that's awesome, and that's something to be excited about. And that does help recruiting. Nothing helps recruiting more than winning. The Big 12 has opened doors, and we're talking to kids that we would not have been able to talk to prior to that happening. The next step is continuing to build facilities. I know what the other 11 schools in the Big 12 are operating with, and we still got some work to do. That's fine. We know what those things are, and we're going to work hard on getting them, and that's going to make Houston even that much more appealing to go to. It's the same thing that Kelvin, Coach Sampson over in basketball dealt with. You know, they built the facility, which got them in the door with people. Big 12 is opening those doors again, and now they're getting 4- and 5-star kids based on the fact that they're winning. So all those things play a part, and our administration understands that, and our job is just to continue to put our head down and coach and get these guys ready to play. The last thing is I did tell our team when the Big 12 thing happened, I said, I'm not going to mention Big 12 to the 2021 Houston football team. That doesn't affect this team. Our goal is the win and to be in the conference championship game, and that's what we got ahead of us on Saturday.
Yeah. 11, not 10. I apologize. I'm not taking any wins away from you, okay? That Connecticut win counted. Great stuff. Is Alton healthy? Is he going to be able to how are you going to run the ball against this Cincinnati defense?
Yeah, they're good. I mean, we could take the next 20 minutes and talk about their defense. They got like 5 Senior Bowl guys and draft picks on that thing. Maybe more, probably more draft picks, but he's good. You know, it goes back to, you know, he's been banged up. You know, he's closing in on 1,000 yards as a true freshman. It's a long season. He's handled it well, but he has got beat up like every other back. Their back forward for Cincinnati has been dealing with the same thing. He's an older kid that has 1,000 yards, but he's been banged up, missing some time here recently, too. Alton's practicing. Alton's fine. He's excited about the opportunity. We got to go right at him. There's no other way to do it. Our O-line's got a big challenge, and our back's got to get tough yards.
Yep. Daniel Holgorsen, hey, man, have fun in Cincinnati. Great stuff. Congratulations on the great season so far. Top it off with a big win over Cincinnati.
Okay, thanks, guys. Go Cougs. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Daniel Holgorsen right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by HRP, Mike Holly, Big Coug, the block for Andre Ware. HRP is where you go if you need your payroll. Chastang Ford, the Chastangs are all Houston guys. Love it. They put their money where their mouth is with the program. And Damaris Barbecue, great friends of the program as well. They love Dana and everything that he's doing over there. So thanks to those guys for sponsoring Dana all season long right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, we've got a segment. We got to get the boys in here. We're going to get CVD. Are they coming in now? Oh, they're going to go tomorrow. Okay. So because we got Chris Moneymaker is going to join us still ahead here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get back to Rockets on the other side.
Yeah, let's hear from Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, let's hear from Jayshon Tate.
When we come back, the most impressive Houston Rocket on the roster will show you what it's all about.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.